Let me check it out. Let's see.
Okay, yeah, that might have been my fault because I got the tab muted over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're good to go, I think, now.
All right, good deal. All right, go ahead, man. Sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to get you audio on your channel.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit distracted because now I'm checking.
No, that's
back.
Okay. Let me just, while you're checking that, 9-307, location of debtor from Cornell University, says that the location of the United States is located within the District of Columbia. Now, playing devil's advocate, like for example, this arty lawyer dude, or anybody like him would say, yeah, but over here it says that the United States is this. So there are different definitions for the United States. What would you say to that?
I would say that they're constantly using their written and spoken doublespeak in order to conflate jurisdictions, the public and private, in order to create chaos, right? I mean, essentially what we have here spiritually is agents of chaos, dark entities who deceive themselves or been deceived, and they're in the process of deceiving others, it seems, right? So I think they're constantly double speaking, like the snake in the garden, right? Trying to convince folks that if they just eat of the fruit of this tree, that they'll become like gods. Hey, if you just like opt into statute, policy, and code, and like don't, you know, if you just submit, cooperate, and comply, we're all going to be safe, right? It's again the same spiritual archetype of this the forked tongue, double speaking snake in the garden, trying to convince us to give up our true power to do the will, to do its will, in order to become safe enough that we can be like God, right? It's obviously the road to a fallen state of beingness, which is exactly what these folks have become, fallen angels.
So since most Americans have fallen into the trap of having a social security number, driver's license, proof of insurance, registration, paying taxes, how do we unravel ourselves from this? I mean, it's truly complex. I mean, if you look at the federal code, if you look at the tax code, there's thousands upon thousands of pages, millions of words. So they got you, you know, every way that you can possibly imagine. How does one person, how does an individual, how does a man of the land release himself from the trap?
Well, you'd have to come to the organic, authentic conversion state of choosing a different belief or knowing something different to be true. I can't tell anybody else what to believe or what their conviction is. I've come to a state at some point in my life where I realize I will govern myself. I get to make choices on what I do. No other man or woman in this realm gets to do that. I mean, quite frankly, growing up, I didn't listen to my own mother and father. Why am I going to listen to a strange man or woman? And the answer comes back to, again, a self-knowledge answer of faith or fear. The only reason everybody's doing this is because they're living in a fear-based reality. So, I mean, I could go back to, again, the polarity that leads to the one truth, one life, one way. If you're living in fear, well, you're definitely not living in faith, so you're probably godless, and you're probably in and of the world and of your father, the devil.
And most of that fear,
to kill, steal, and destroy. Go ahead.
Most of that fear probably comes from ignorance, because, you know, like Jefferson said, those who desire to be ignorant and free desire what never was and what never shall be. So there's these people sitting in ignorance. And because they have this ignorance, they have a vast amount of fear about things that they don't understand. So how does the average individual release themselves from, say, you know, property taxes or registration, proof of insurance, and social security number?
Well, part of it comes down to recognizing that everything here exists to work with, to co-create, or to serve you. The agencies, all the rest of it, that's the foundation of law and this system. We're beneficiaries / benefactor of the trust. The problem is we keep identifying as trustees. There go the obligations, right? So if you identify as the trustees of the public trust, whether you know it or not, they're going to impose obligations on you. If you clear the record or correct the record in the fact that we are the benefactor, aka government only exists because of us, right? We as men created it. We gave it a limited power in order to uphold our rights from folks who wish to take them. So the moment that they do not fulfill their task, the power transfers back to the benefactor / beneficiary, right? So it starts with correcting the status on record. Your status can never be changed under God, But in their records, on their record, you are identifying as a trustee, and there go the obligations. All right. So men and women don't have duties and obligations. They have rights under God. And that's the problem here. This is why they'll say driving's a privilege. Yeah, driving's a commercial term. Government and servants don't get to decide for men and women who has what, when, why, and how. They only get to do that for themselves and folks who identify with that and opt in. Again, ignorance of the law is no excuse. So most folks are ignorant of not only God, therefore they're faithless. They're ignorant of how this system works and the fact that they've opted into with contract a whole bunch of obligations that are advisory for men and women and only compulsory for agents of the corporation.
All right, so one thing at a time here. How do you release yourself from let me ask you a personal question. Do you drive is there a difference between driving and traveling, first of all? Am I using the wrong term here?
Absolutely. Okay. The federal code defines this once again, and then they'll say, well, state code is different than federal. No, you can't write up state code that's antithetical to the federal code, which is pursuant to the Constitution. That's called a overthrow of the law of the land. People just say shit. It's called checks and balances. Everything has to be pursuant to the highest code, which is pursuant to the highest law. Code is a codification of law. The law of the land is we have a right to pursue our happiness and do whatever we want without causing loss, injury, or harm, and as long as we pay our debts. That's what's known as the common law. And it's common fucking sense. When did the servants get rights and abilities more than the men and women they serve? I'll ask it over and over again. And the answer is when you all opted in and put yourselves on record as agents of this corporation rather than men and women on the land with natural rights, and then you acted like a slave. If millions of you on the road are going to ride around with all of the corporate identifiers and do contract with them willingly, what are they going to say when they come across me? Common practice is now the opposite of the common law, because they're going to go, all the rest of us think we have to do it. Right. You have a belief that you have to do what servants, civil servants, and a corporation tells you to do. My God and my conscience and my balls, quite frankly, between my legs as a man tell me, no, I don't. I don't have to listen to anyone in this realm at any time. And them pointing to a book of codes is no logical reasoning to me. It's not compelling enough. Right. So the bottom line on this, Brian, I know folks want, you could go get the DS-11 form. You could go get the passport corrected. You can make it clear you're not doing fraud, that the record was originally incorrect when you were identified by your parents as a United States citizen. You can correct it to an American national. Right. That's the way most folks do it. And then you'll go to U.S. code and you'll see there's a protected class and a privileged class. I'm pretty sure those two classes exist under U.S. code, because there are American nationals here and other nationals, and there are citizens. Citizens are the privileged class. The ones born on the land are the protected class. Protected class has no duty and obligation to follow statute, policy, and code unless they consent. Protected class has to have their rights upheld by the system. Privileged class foregoes their natural rights for benefits and privileges. One of them would be Social Security. And the idea that you have of driving, which obviously is not the same as traveling, because it's all a corporate endeavor with corporate language.
All right. So you mentioned the DS-11 form. Were you saying that tongue-in-cheek, or were you saying people need to fill out this form and that's part of the steps?
I'm not telling anybody what they need to do. I'm telling folks what's available.
Okay. What
is available is if you come to a spiritual understanding that you have a living God here that you have a relationship with, and it tells you how to live, and that statute, policy, and code that they write up and remix every 2 weeks is not your law, well, then you're going to start to have a change of mind and heart and vision. And what's going to follow with that is the correction of the record to the original status of man and woman on the land under God with natural rights. That's the natural, organic, authentic progression of any being I've ever met who does this walk, including myself on some level.
So on a personal level, have you done the DS-11 and gotten your own passport?
I've not done the process with the passport. Okay. I have done the process with what the American nationals are involved in, right?
And what
essentially putting on record through affidavit that at some point there was an unlawful conversion right? Or just a conveyance at some point that has to be corrected on the record, and then you basically give notice to all these officials that you were born on the land, right? You're subject to the law of the land and God's law, absent some loss, injury, and harm, and that you are not here to be governed by statutes, policy, and code, which your own law of the land, Bill of Rights and Declaration says, is through consent of the governed. Statute, policy, and code is given the force of law through the consent of the governed. Well, I'm returning back to the land on paper, right? And this is the other part of it. The natural progression to anybody who does this is like you see me out in a cabin, in the mountains, in the woods, is back to the land, right? The same way you were born on the land under God, you should be growing your own food. You should have your own clean water sources. You should be away from the cities and suburbs with all the toxic frequencies and ideologies and propaganda. This is the natural organic progression of a being who wants to be back where they're meant to be, right? Under God, so to speak, supernaturally.
And how has that been received by people who you encounter that are state officials, quote unquote, and you let them know, hey, I have corrected or I'm in the process of correcting my status? Have you had a run in with people who aren't along the lines of what, you know, what you believe?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know me, Brian. I mean, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I always have. I always will, despite the fear that folks try to heap on me.
Yeah, I know you, but most people who are watching this broadcast, or you know, a high percentage of them don't know.
Yeah, I've been arrested, you know, over and over again. The way I look at it is, you know, I'm just kind enough and compassionate and understanding enough and faithful enough to allow them to continue to order me around and take me away and then me to walk out and continue on my life. It's a misunderstanding on their part, it seems.
And they have, they have confiscated your property. They confiscated your vehicle. They took your firearms. They threw you into a cage. You got out, and there was economic harm basically done to you, correct?
You could argue that, but through the blessings and grace of however this works, right, whatever we believe God is, because I don't put a name or a face on it, but, you know, everything was restored one way or the other. I mean, the audience is along for the ride. You know, they tend to contribute at times, you know, when necessary. I don't really ask for that, but, you know, that's good faith. That's equity. That's trust. This is what we need to start learning how to work in. The maxims of what the system of law is, equity, faith, and trust. And I contend most United States citizen slaves don't understand equity, faith, and trust. So if you just do what's true and what's right and you surrender the rest, usually you come out no worse off than how you started. There's a good chance you're going to be better off, if not physically, spiritually. That's what I've experienced.
Harry Atkins says in the chat room, I corrected my status almost 5 years ago, one of the best moves I've ever made.
Right, and let's be clear, Brian, I got about 24 emails where a lot of folks told me, you know, and I don't want to mention names, you got a lot of, like, heroes out here who say they got the market cornered on how to be a slave. Oh, you need to plead better, Pauly boy. You need to beg better. You know, you need to figure out how to motion the court. Bullshit. If you don't stop and you continue and you do what's true and what's right and you remind these folks of their obligations, you will get your stuff back. You will get your rights upheld. If not, you know, all they could do is martyr you in a sense. And this is where folks need to have an understanding of God and themselves. And I'm not saying that we're out here seeking that. You have to understand that there is a place at times for doing what's true and what's right, surrendering the rest under God in faith, and then letting your body have whatever's going to be done to it, going to be done to it, because you don't have control over that. All you have control over is your thoughts, emotions, actions, inactions, and what's on the record. And guess what? We're all going to be judged by that record by the end of this. If not at the courts, like DeCastro and all the rest of them, we're going to be judged with that spiritual force. Because guess what? If I know you, if I can look at you and know you, I got a feeling that thing can look at you and know you, because I got a relationship with it, and I seem to have that experience, right? This thing, it knows. Go ahead, Brian.
And you got to have that, too. This isn't about reading words in a book, memorizing lines on a page. This is about not believing, but actually knowing, right?
In the middle of the believe is the word lie, right? Belief requires a choice. If you have a relationship with this universe and this truth, and you become one with it, there's no more belief. They can't pimp on you. They can't trick you out of position. Oh, no, I know what you're doing. And that's what you're supposed to be doing, right? Again, you know, I forgive them for they know not what they do, or they're here to play a role, right? Again, how are you going to get, I'm going to pick on them a little bit, how are you going to get me, I'll keep it in the eye, DeCastro, Brian, with the Zach Hubbard? How are we going to get Zach Hubbard? How are we going to get everybody to really rise to the occasion and be honorable, authentic, faithful men who surrender the outcome? How are you going to do that if it's not through these demons and dark forces testing and challenging everybody's bitch-ass ego? Forgive me if that's triggering, right? Paulie's getting a little ghetto. That's what they'll say. But this is the reality of it. The darkness, the dark forces, these are our greatest teachers and testers. They're going to make a man out of you one way or the other. Bet on it.
I'm gonna do a little bit of backtracking and backfilling during the course of this, because I really want this to be clear for people who are going to watch this video later on. But this, let me read something to you, and you tell me if this is like on target or not, because a lot of people have different opinions on how to correct your status, the DS-11 form, getting a passport or not getting a passport, withdrawing yourself from the tax code and all that stuff. When you're born, your parents sign a birth certificate, a certificate of live birth, and a Social Security papers, which opens a special type of public corporation used for political purposes. Is that true?
You did that quick. Give me that again, because I gotta really focus when we start doing the.
When you were born, your parents signed your certificate of live birth or long form birth certificate and Social Security papers, which opens a special type of public corporation.
Of course.
Used for political purposes.
Yeah, it's an account, bro. They open an account essentially. Where do you think that they're paying all these non-bills with? It's all your credit. You guys opted into a body politic. You keep voting and paying taxes, and they keep writing up bills they're going to stick you with. Where do you think that's going to come out of? Your credit account that they created. They're bankrupting this whole nation and this whole world right now using credit fraud.
And what
it's
is
arguably a complete fraud from top to bottom.
And for people who this is new to their ears, what's the purpose of that?
What's the purpose of that? Because Shaitan apparently works hundreds of thousands of years to somehow get humanity under its fucking thumb through socialization, you know, communism, collectivism, fascism. All the isms lead back to the same idea. Where do you think we're going now with the social credit and the Bitcoin? You think this is a coincidence? To be system matrix, there's something in us or around us that's all connected, whether it's God or the devil, and it's working toward the same end based on our choice. You're going to go with God, or you're going to go with the beings in and of this world. What do you think they did the last time, Brian, when they took the gold and silver by code out of the system and gave everybody the Social Security system with the credit-based, debt-based system, right? They already did away with lawful money, gold and silver, 100-something years ago, and they're going to do it again. Now they're going to replace fiat with digital currency, and they're going to tokenize everybody's beingness. They already did that. When they created the all caps name and created the Social Security system and took the lawful money out of existence and engineered world wars, hello, we're there again, right? It was right after a slamdemic, right on the back of that, I believe, right around that time. Is it always a coincidence, Brian, that we have the Spanish flu, you know, that leads into these depressions, that lead into these world wars, that lead into these changes in economic systems? That winds up everybody spiritually and physically in debt and have no more rights and property. The average person doesn't own anything right now. Klaus already won. When he said you guys own nothing and are happy, it's already happened. You don't own your land. You pay taxes on it. You don't own your house, most of you, because you don't have the original title or deed. You all pay mortgages. We're already there. The last 50 years has been the perfection of you own nothing, have no rights, but are happy because you can still go to Walmart and eat bullshit Jack in the Box. It's already happened. We're just now going to perfect it a little bit more, right? So sorry to like be the turd in the punch bowl, right? You know, sorry to break up the garden party, but you know, this is where we're at. So now the only thing that's going to essentially change this is us going on record. Oh, my God, we see it. That's what apocalypse means, the revealing of the truth that's always been here. This is an end times of an end of an age. Either nationalism, quote unquote, the common law, universal law, truth, rights, freedom, principles, values is going to be secured on record, or all you folks are going to go down the drain. And I'm sure it's been done many times before. I'm not saying it's going to be the end of the world. It's going to be the end of an idea or an age if you let it be. The idea of personal choice and freedom and God and rights is going to be like something people, you know, rib themselves about and joke about. Listen to this guy. It's already there. You start talking God and imbued principles from the universe that we're born with and can come to know through firsthand experience, they think you're a crazy person. That's what it's become. That's how godless and faithless these communities and this country and these nations have become, where it's now just a big joke when you talk about it. Well, we're going to see, because if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in the devil. Well, look around you. The greatest trick the devil ever did was convincing you it didn't exist. That's how it takes your power, your rights, and your freedom. Deception. We're there, Ryan.
Now, when we're talking about God and we're talking about the devil, what, you know, a lot of people have their religion leaves a bad taste in their mouth. They say, like Marx did, religion is the opiate of the masses. But I suspect you're not talking about religion. You're talking about an actual relationship with the person who, the designer of all things.
There's correct? Two etymologies. There's two. Your Masons know there's a God, the grand architect. Come on. These are the people who run the majority of folks' life out there who are nihilist atheists. Even your masters say there's a grand architect, and they're here to build. Go ahead.
Just the objection is, when you say God or Satan, those concepts come from the Quran or they come from the Bible. Is that what you're taking this from?
It's a description of an experience. I've had an experience in consciousness where I've deceived myself and others to my own and others' detriment while thinking I was profiteering. I've had the experience of becoming awake and aware and realizing, oh, my God, there's a bigger purpose and meaning and value to whatever it is we're experiencing here. That is the experience of, quote unquote, God or the devil. It's inside all of us. I'm not saying it's necessarily two men in the sky. It's an aspect of our beingness, archetypally. If we embody one, we get a kingdom of heaven. If we embody the other, we get a hell on earth. Look around. The whole world is in the hands of the dark one. I'm using religious language and scriptural language, but it's based on a firsthand experience that I'm having. I don't get my law or my understanding or experience from a religious book. I'm correlating my firsthand experience to the book. And that, to me, is proof of a good idea. So again, there's two etymologies when it comes to the word religion, oddly enough. If you look into words and terms, you'll find out it's all there. The experience is all there. You got relegare, to reunite with essentially the true force, right, of creation. And then you have religare in the sense of to bind. Right. This is the same way I will say addiction. The word addiction conventionally can mean bondage, vice, right? That form of addiction. Addiction, when you break up the word, can also mean toward the word, right? So you can argue my latest addiction in my life has been toward the word and the meanings held within. That's the true God. I also have a checkered past of heroin addiction and pills and being deceived and under a different state of consciousness, right? So this is, again, when you look at the words and terms and you break them up, you come to realize, once again, there's two worlds. This is a dualistic simulation, you know, night and dark, light and dark, you know, night and day, masculine, feminine, and again, common law, constitutional, corporate administrative jurisdiction. You know, one is essentially run by or created by God. The other one is essentially run by, created by man, and I argue something connected, indwelling in man from the beginning of time, that is our collective and individual undoing.
So when
in something here.
So when you're quoting things that appear to come from the Bible, like you just did, you know, forgive them, they know not what they do, and you can't serve two masters, you're just picking out those things that resonate with you through your experience, correct?
Because I've learned that I can't live in hate. I can't have enemies, right? Sun Tzu's a war master. He fought more wars than anybody here. Wants to buck up and say, we're going to do this, that. Know your enemy, they'll cease to be your enemy, right? So because I understand this dynamic, I believe, and what policy enforcement is they're doing spiritually and how they're a mirror of the rest of us, you get the government you deserve based on the collection of thoughts, emotions, actions, and inactions of the people, right? So they are not my enemy. I will not live in war with myself or anyone here. I have no enemies.
So we're talking about basically principles of the universe that are self-evident to all if they would just open their minds to the truth of what actually is.
Pretty much. And if they were able to put aside their institutionalized indoctrination, that's a big part of it. You got to put aside your big brain beliefs and thoughts and feelings and all this shit that you've grown up in. Like, right, this is what they say, you know, older than the Christ of being. You know, the journey to enlightenment is not about collecting more. It's about getting rid of. Right. So every day you got to kind of get rid of a thought, an emotion, an action that doesn't serve you. It's not about piling more and more on. It's about taking away till you can come to a space of pure consciousness and awareness, which brings clarity and understanding. Without that state of beingness, we will always deceive ourselves and each other and be deceived.
I got to tell you, man, this is like one of the most important live stream, other than that last one that we did together, which I think was very appropriate for, you know, the audience. This is the most important thing because you're talking about something way beyond the material world. You're talking about something way beyond the Social Security number, license, registration, proof of insurance. You're talking about something that strikes at the root of every single one of us, and most of us can't see it because we have been indoctrinated into this world of fiction.
Babylon, man. You go back right into the scripture, it'll tell you right there, we've all been corrupted and divided, and to the point where we can't even communicate any longer. I mean, look at where we're at now. You got Donnie and Joey up there, the supposed leaders of Babylon. Right? It's completely evident that this has always been this way and may always be this way, and that it just comes down to the simulation of choice. Who and what do you want to be as an individual here? Right? What has always been inside of you intuitively telling you something's not right? Everyone has it. If you just quiet the mind and you put all the other nonsense aside, that thing will start to open up to you and communicate to you and will lead, guide, protect, and reveal. I've seen it over and over again. This is not some fairy tale, right? So, you know, the greatest story ever told is the greatest story ever told for a reason, because it applies to all of us if we could just look and see, listen and hear with the heart, get the sense of it. And no self, and by that, therefore, no God.
And almost everything, if not everything in the world since the day we were born, rails against everything that you just said.
Well, that's the point, right? It's to keep you in and of the world, it's to keep you hypnotized, entertained, entranced, enticed, delusional, deluded, deceived, right? Thinking that you're doing something, you got everything you need, and then the whole time you're on record as a slave. The whole time you're on record as an infidel. And a reprobate and a deviant. This thing knows how to get everybody, man. If you're not highly conscious and aware and working day to day in a spiritual practice, it will get you.
This guy, I don't know how you pronounce his name, but he says in the comment section, smart man. Is that really what it is? Is it because, do you understand this because you're a smart man?
They tell me on record that I have a high IQ. I've met a lot of other folks who have a high IQ, so I don't think necessarily logical, worldly intelligence is what this is really about, right? I mean, if you go and get a dog or a cat, it pretty much has more knowledge of natural law, common sense, right from wrong, than the average United States citizen slave at this point. So, I mean, you could argue we're more mentally, intellectually intelligent and clever at times than some of the animals, but guess what? The animals live in harmony the way they're meant to live. They don't come up with all these big brain philosophies and ideas that pervert their nature, destroy themselves and their environment, right? So, you know, again, you could say that. I have a high IQ, but ultimately, I don't think that that's what this is really about. This is about seeking truth. This is about doing the will, right? This is about becoming a faithful being, right? So I would say it's more EQ than it is IQ. In the sense of spiritual, emotional intelligence. Right? Can you look within and get in touch with different aspects of you and make sense out of that? Right? I don't think it hurts to be an intellectual, so to speak. But again, look around you at all the folks throughout the ages who've been high IQ intellectuals that create all the stuff that blows everybody up and destroys everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to be tempered by something.
You said doing the will. What is the will?
Well, look into yourself and ask yourself, do you believe you have a right to travel freely? Do you believe that God, whoever, whatever it is, created this place for you and I and all of us to be whatever it is we're meant to be as long as we make that choice? That's what free will is, no? Free choice? Are we going to argue that other clowns who are just like us or maybe even inferior to us can put on a costume and somehow have authority over us? It's nonsense. Right, so at some point, when you come back to a common sense ability that we all have, you could call it conscience, you know, more is revealed objectively when it comes to right from wrong. That's all that this comes down to. The majority of folks can't objectively ascertain objective logic, morals, and ethics, right from wrong. And a big part of it is we stop teaching it. You know, if we ever had a complete handle or grasp on this as a population, we've stopped teaching it and passing it down. Your average public school system nowadays doesn't teach civics, logic, morals, ethics. They call that philosophy now. Nobody's going to go be a philosopher. It's not profitable, don't you know? That's the difference between I and everyone else. I've lived my whole life with a love of wisdom and knowledge. essentially a philosopher in my own right, because I really care and want to know. I'm seeking the truth with the thing inside of me connected to the Most High, while the rest of them choose what they're going to specialize in and of the world, so they can profiteer to their own detriment. You don't have the discernment and the awareness of self and this dynamic, you will be chewed up and spit out. Doesn't matter how much you're getting in and of the world. What profit a man if he gain the world and lose his soul and his ability to choose? Scripture never lied one time. Pure conscious and awareness and oneness with oneself on the highest level. Either get it or you don't. It's all cause and effect, right?
I've got on the screen, and I think I want to do a separate video like this, because are you interested in coming back? We're not done yet. I want to go for another maybe 50 minutes or so.
I told you, Brian, when I come over here, we got to get on YouTube, too. I know you want to be on. I don't know that, but I'm presuming you want to be on Rumble, because I'm a loose cannon. It's a bit iffy with me, right?
Well, I'm trying to. My personal view on that is I'm just trying to outgrow my Rumble channel, because I see the writing on the wall with YouTube. But
every time I come here, bro, you know, you got an audience and you seem to get it. And despite all the extra shit, we vibe, right? We got an energy and a vibe here. So I'm always down to come over here, light it up, and get down to the truth, because we need it now more than ever. Keeps me inspired.
Yeah, no, we vibe, and you truly do inspire me, and I feel like you're a brother from another mother, maybe the same mother, I don't know. But
never know. She was a drinker.
Hey, I've got I got to tell you, man. I have a license. I have a license plate. I have proof of insurance, you know, and all that stuff. So I don't want to be a hypocrite here. I do want out, and I do everything you said resonates with me, because here's how I view it. There are principles in the universe. I don't have a higher claim over your life and property than you. You don't have a higher claim over my life and property than me. Nobody has the right to initiate unjust force and violence on peaceful people who haven't done anything wrong. I understand those intellectually, and I think in my heart. But I also got to admit, I have fear too. I have a fear of the knock at the door or being pulled over and dragged out onto the highway and thrown into a cage and thrown away.
Brian. But you got to believe that you're a good dude, bro. That whoever, whatever, however this universe works, is going to protect you on some level. That you're never going to get what the next person's going to get, because when you show up and present, motherfuckers can know you and feel you. This is the common sense ability of the human experience. We have so little faith, right? This is what I'm saying with DeCastro, bro. I'm not hating on him. I'm trying to get him to really in his heart, like I was 2 years ago with David Rodriguez, living in a fucking tent, trying to get him to understand what this walk is about. It's not about the money in the next 50 G's. You got to really go on record with this force in yourself as the thing authentically, right? If not, you're going to get fucked, bro. I'm not saying I'm not potentially going to get fucked at some point. The difference is I'm going to show up as me and present like this as much as possible, the objective truth, and surrender the rest. If you can't do that, you really ain't about it. And I got to tell you, the more money you keep taking, that thing's going to get it back in blood. That's what I really believe. If you wonder why I've left so much money on the table, I've had opportunities. I've left it on the table because I know if I start taking false entitlements and calling myself something and taking money for that, and I'm not doing what's true and what's right all the way, and I'm copping out, that spiritual mafia is going to take that fucking currency back in blood. Don't kid yourself. There's a price and a final cost here spiritually, as far as I could tell. I can't prove it. That's my experience. So I'm not hating on motherfuckers. I'm trying to get you right before you create a whole different type of situation for yourself spiritually and karmically that you ain't up for. Right? This is where the meekness comes in. The meek shall inherit the earth. It doesn't mean weak and cowardly. Means you stay in your fucking lane and you do what's true and what's right and you surrender the rest. Folks like that will inherit the earth, while the rest of these inauthentic corporate males who don't want to buck up, don't want to show courage and faith, are going to have everything stripped from them. You think we're any different? You think I don't feel fear? Come on, man. I'm human, right? That's the difference between being a coward and brave, though. We all feel fear. Then we got to do what's true and what's right, regardless of the consequences. If not, you cease to be a man. Am I hating on motherfuckers because I'm revealing what was revealed to me that I had to see and understand to go to the next level? You didn't think it hurt me to have to look in the mirror and say I'm a fucking punk-ass coward and I got to live this information, or I better shut the fuck up and go away, because if not, it's going to be bad karma for me. And guess what? These people in this system ain't ever going to respect you, and the God of creation ain't going to respect you, and you ain't going to respect yourself subconsciously, if nothing else. at least one thing's for sure, two things for certain. When I show up at court, they don't have to like me. They respect me because they say, Paulie Boy's back. He's continuing to do what his God tells him to do. He has fear in him, and he still moves forward. He comes here and presents honorably with himself and his voice and surrenders the rest. We respect that motherfucker. There's no other way it could be. There's no other way it could be. That's the human element, right? So till you get right and do that, you ain't never going to respect yourself, and these people damn sure ain't going to respect you. And every time you go in front of Zimmerman and them, they're going to fry your ass. Because they know you're riding the fence and playing both sides for your own personal gain. They can read just like I can. That's what makes them great administrators. They can read, motherfuckers, and they know their heart. Just like the devil does, just like the God of creation does. So cut with the victiming, cut with the whining and complaining. There's reasons for all this shit and why it's continuing on. Better look into yourself and get right under God, or you're going to continue to choose your own suffering and collect more money and have other people speak for you and whine about the consequences. Because you ain't leveling up. I know the level up.
And even if you don't get the respect from people in the system, you've been respectable, and it really doesn't matter what they think at the end of the day. Hey, let's talk about DeCastro a little bit. Let's talk about Chile. If you were in that situation with Bork and the same thing happened to you, how would you proceed from that point?
Same thing has happened to me.
Okay.
Same thing has happened to me.
Let's talk about it.
They take me in cuffs. And they bring me for a couple days or so. They want an arraignment. Arraignment, obviously, look at the word. They're trying to rein you in and get you in their jurisdiction. And I don't argue with them. They got their beliefs. They got their common practice. The majority of citizens want code, policy, and statute. So, hey, I'm not really mad about it. I get why it's happening to my body at times. That doesn't change the fact that I'm going to put it on record, on paper. This is who and what I am and what I'm not. This is what I was doing, and I have a right to do that, and I'll see you later. And I don't care if you put out warrants or anything like that. I'm going to continue out my life. I'm not interested in you guys' statute, policy, and code. Not interested in you hiring some inauthentic corporate male to speak for me that doesn't know God in and of the world. Not interested in any of it. Not combating it. Not trying to overthrow it. Not trying to move in on their action and their pimp game on the slaves. It's all by contract and consent, whether you know it or not. I'm just telling you who and what I am, what I'm not, what I'm going to do. And then I stand on that. I surrender the rest. They come and get me at some point, take me over there, and don't let me go and say he's absconded and all the rest of these words and terms. We'll have the conversation again. All right? I can't live in fear of what they're going to do to me if I don't follow their nonsense. I'm in more fear of what God's going to do to me and take from me if I don't follow what the fuck is in my heart as true and right. That's the difference. These slaves got more fear of man in their costumes and playing their games and acts and nonsense at court, then they got fear of their own conscience and what it's connected to. That's a problem, scripturally, spiritually, ethically, right?
So let's take it from square one. You're in the cuffs. They take you to the cage. They book you. You're in the cage. And have you ever been before a judge in a courtroom?
Administrator, yeah, over and over again, half a dozen times. I got to the point a couple times where I got them all on record, backed them down, and they said to me, well, what do you want to do? And a couple times I fumbled the ball because I was, you know, once you start moving and you start getting responses from them and you start seeing you have the power, you get a little bit, you know, comfortable and confident. Mm-hmm. You go from fearful to comfortable and confident. So I got them all the way to the point where the administrator said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't know. Because I've never really been in that position before. And he goes, well, do you even want to come back to address this? And at that point, I said, if it's a good expenditure of taxpayer funds, if you think that you want to keep wasting these people's money to have me here to prove you're wrong, we could do that. He goes, okay. He said it for another day. Then I contacted them after and said, I will not be returning to that date, right? Because, again, I'm man enough and real enough to admit when you do everything you're supposed to and you get to a certain point and you drop the ball, and that's what it was. The point is, if you watch DeCastro and these other people who claim to be law scholars and gurus, they can't interact with these administrators. They don't have the balls, and they don't understand how it works. But they want to sell all this fucking product. It doesn't work for me. You got to be able to stand as a man and use common sense, if nothing else, and say, who's that? The people? What? You just put some state actor agent up and called himself the people? Is that Mr. or Mrs. People? We're going to get him to swear in today. Because I'm pretty sure I'm a man of the people. So I don't know how that person who's an agent of the state can stand up and say they're the people. I'm pretty sure that's me. Do you see the game, Brian? They flipped the script on everybody. So that's where DeCastro's attorney or he himself is supposed to say, objection. Who is this person? Are they going to swear in? I hear a disembodied voice at the court. Are you going to swear in? Because if not, you're calling yourself the people. I don't know what that is other than a fraud. I'm the people. I'm the sovereign, as the court of record defines. That's not my word. That's their word. Court of record defines the sovereign as the man or woman of the people who holds all the power to move the court. That is not a state actor or a public servant. An agent of a corporation. Are you kidding? You guys are duped. You played. You're pimped out. And then you want to get in there and argue the beliefs and the fraud. You don't need to do that. You just need to point out who and what you are on the record, who or what they are, and show it for what it is. And that's when everyone's going to have their head twist around, like The Exorcist, right? Because they're going to go, oh, man, Brian or Paul or Jose knows what's going on here. You know that the man just stood up and tried to call themselves the people, but didn't swear in because they have no firsthand knowledge of the events. So they have no standing. They have no power to move that court. You got to knock them out of the box based on the basic rules of court from the beginning of time. You got no firsthand knowledge. You got no room to speak. I was there. I'm the one arrested. I have all the firsthand knowledge in the world. Furthermore, I am the people. So I will retain the power of this court to move this court unless another man or woman steps up and puts a claim on file. See how easy that was? But they don't have the knowledge of the balls to really just do that and stand on that and watch everybody go crazy.
Now let me say something just happened to my mic. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little low.
Oh, man, what just happened? Oh, there we go. Are you familiar with Ernie Wayne Tergelty? You know who
Absolutely.
I'm talking about? Okay, so the way he did it, is that the way you would have done it?
Similar, probably not the same, because we all have our own individuated, like our personality way of communicating the truth,
right?
And the way that we understand it. But yeah, I would say from the little that I do know of them, similar, not necessarily the same, right?
And
same idea though, in essence.
And basically his argument wasn't even really an argument at all. It was just, hey, I'm a man of the land. You got me in here foraging for food. You don't have the right to do that. And he came out really, really hot and heavy against the judge.
Of course not. A corporation can't own anything. This is why your politicians want to keep duping you to believe that corporations are people too. They're more and more and more trying to get corporations and corporate entities to have rights that the men and women once believe they have, that they no longer accept that they have. They're flipping the script completely. So government can't own forests. Government can't own land, right? You need a man or woman to come on record with their word that they have a claim to that property from the beginning of time. A corporate entity with no men or women on record, they only have corporate entities within corporate entities. There is no man or woman within the government who's going to come to open court and swear that they have a claim to own that land. They can only hold it, upkeep it, and maintain it in trust for the men and women they serve. You folks don't understand how this system was meant to work and how still operates if we would just use it correctly. You folks could all have pieces of land. I don't care if they're going to tell you the Homestead Act of 1860 is no longer valid. Bullshit. If some man wrote it then and it applied then it's based in truth and applies now. That's what truth is. It's eternal. Doesn't matter what you all understand or repeat. The truth is the truth, right? So the truth we come to know is that this is our land, and God gave it to us to use, upkeep, and maintain in trust, right? The problem is men and women are not on record. So what does the government do? In God we trust. They're going to upkeep, maintain the land for men and women when they show up sometime, someday on record. They haven't yet. So in God, they're holding that land in trust. And it's only because the men and women on this land don't understand their status and standing and how to use the system and law to get what the fuck they want or need in life.
Man, I've
Donnie got... Trump knows how, Brian.
You mean Donnie
All you Trump? Republitards, real quick, Brian, I got a trigger. All you Republitards need to realize Donnie Trump knows the law. He's not going to tell it to you, but he's going to go use trust to keep all his assets in a certain jurisdiction where he don't have to pay tax. He's not stupid. So like they said, if Pauly Boy's smart, well, Donnie's smart. The problem is he ain't going to tell you how to be a lawful man, how to retain your rights. He's going to pimp on you, just like they all do, for his own benefit and his own gain. Go ahead, Bri.
I thought it was Donnie Chimp, but okay, I guess it's Donnie
Trump. Well, no, that's my candidate.
So,
I've run two elections in a row, my candidate, which is an orangutan. Because I contend if we were to just elect a chimpanzee, everything would immediately get better. Because the chimpanzee would just want some bananas, an enclosure, and to be able to copulate. It's a very simple animal. It's not going to lie, cheat, steal, do wars around the world, embezzle, fraud. Things will get better immediately if you guys would just elect my candidate, Donnie Chimp, the orangutan. Think about it.
Okay, before I'm going to play a snippet of what Ernie said here in the court to the judge, but before that, I want to give you a chance to respond to Harry Atkins. He said in the chat room, if Chile hadn't hired an attorney, the court could not have imprisoned him. True or false?
Potentially, to a certain degree, yeah, because when you prove on record you're non-compos mentis and you call yourself a law scholar, they're really going to look at you as bad faith and dishonorable. And when you bring in a legal counsel and a legal society to speak for you, he's essentially working with them to manage your estate. The court of record procedure says, by definition, the attorney has a duty to the court no less than the duty to its client. That means you're hiring this motherfucker thinking he's going to defend you and get you out. No, he's an intermediary. He's there to mediate. He's there to get everybody to be satisfied as best as possible. So what's he going to do? Well, De Castro, you got off at 180. They could have put you in jail for 2 years. It's a great deal. It's not, right? So, yeah, when you hire someone else to manage your estate, proving you're not the law scholar you claim you are, not only are they going to get jurisdiction to manage your estate, they're going to presume you'd be bad faith and dishonorable, just as I do and would. You think there's any difference between my apprehension and the woman sitting on the bench, whether she loves police and is married to one or not? She knows a dishonorable, bad faith motherfucker, especially if she's married to one. Come on, man. It ain't about her and them. It's about you. What do you got on record? How are you presenting? What are you standing on? That's the man is judged by his principles, first and foremost, in a human experience. All the rest of the shit's extras.
Wow. Okay, so as soon as he turned the reins of it, basically, when you're hiring an attorney to appear before a judge in a court, you have abdicated your responsibility and you've turned the keys of your life over to another person.
Right. And that's the cornerstone of bad faith, dishonor, and lack of accountability, responsibility. You run around town filming police, yapping at the mouth, saying, I'm De Castro, I'm an alpha male, I love getting arrested. Then you want to show up at court and let a motherfucker speak for you and cry? It don't go that way, bro. I don't care if it's court or not. In any venue, it don't go that way. If we meet at the local outlaw biker club, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to say you're running around town with the colors, claiming all this shit, and then when you show up here, you got a whole different energy? And you want to let another motherfucker talk for you? Why didn't you let that attorney talk for you out in the street when you were making all that money? See? They got no problem running their mouth when there's nothing but benefits and privileges. As soon as they got to stand on something and deal with sacrifice and consequences, oh, bring in the inauthentic corporate male to do the talking for me. Nobody respecting that. From any strata of life and society, nobody's respecting that. You can't ignore that. I don't care if you like me or not. That's common fucking sense.
So when you're sitting in that courtroom, the answer is take responsibility for yourself, whatever actions they think you committed, and act pro se.
Like they say on the street, Brian, keep the same energy. Keep that same energy. Either keep the energy you had in court on the street or keep the energy you had on the street in court. Don't switch up on everybody. Just be who and what you are and carry that over in every venue. Then you might get respect.
So there was a mixture. Let's stay with the Chile De Castro thing. So there was a mixture there because he basically kept the same energy and then apologized for it when he called the cop a pig and gave the thumbs up to Zimmerman when she was saying, I guess you hate all cops in the United States. So he was doing two things there. He was keeping the energy he had on the street, and because he hired the, as you say, inauthentic corporate male, he was walking in hypocrisy.
And the point is, that's not the energy for court, Brian. I don't
right,
know
but,
you.
Right, but is that right there, what I said?
Well, yeah, you're right. But okay. The point is that's why I'm saying keep the same energy that you have at court that it wound up as in the mm-hmm. street, because you got to humble yourself. Mm-hmm. The reality is, if you really ain't about it and you're not going to go in that court and say thug life like Tupac and go do your time, you're going to cry on the phone every day or cry at court, you got no business presenting like that in any venue because you're faking the funk. So be a little bit more humble, have some humility, understand the dynamic, apply yourself correctly, and then surrender the outcome in consequences and sacrifice. Because you know what comes with this. Bro, I told that motherfucker and all these guys years ago, you need to downsize and you need to live within your means. I see how you guys live. You ain't ready. Then when you want to have to go do a 180 that you didn't expect, that's obvious when you're in activism and doing this, especially the way you do it, popping all that shit, you know that time's going to come. You should be preparing for that. It shouldn't be a shock to you. You shouldn't be clawing and scrapping and scraping when the time comes. If I got to go do a 180 right now, you ain't going to hear me on the phone whining and crying. I'm going to be doing sit-ups and push-ups and focusing on my conscious and awareness and my faith practice and bearing witness and testimony and doing ministry to drug addicts and criminals who need me more than anybody inside of there, right? You set yourself up in your life to live within your means, to do what your life purpose is and surrender the rest. I'm not in debt. I don't have monthly bills. I could go away right now. I'll have land and everything I need when I come out and then some. That's living within your means and living in abundance. You folks are living by your own meanings and you're living in loss and lack and abandonment and fraud. It's not equity. It's not trust. It's not faith. And it's why you're going to continue to generate suffering for yourself and others here. And that's why I have to speak so loudly about it. I'm not going to let these motherfuckers convince other people to buy these fucking products and act like them and wind themselves up in a civil war or having to do prison time and then whining and crying and acting like they didn't know what's up. You want to do this walk, you do what's true and what's right, you understand the dynamic, you speak for yourself, you surrender the rest, and you don't cry about the outcome. The Christed being had to go to prison over and over again and be killed eventually for what's true and what's right. Why the fuck do you think you're going to be any different is my question. A lot of arrogance in these motherfuckers. A lot of ego. Too much for my own good. If you're going to be arrogant and egotistical, you better have damn good results. So there's no reason for that.
So you don't have any bills? You don't have a water bill, electric bill, or any, you're completely 100% off grid?
At this point, yeah.
Do you grow where do you get your food?
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, at this point, you know, and you'll have folks say that I live off other people and all the rest of it. I'm staying with a woman right now, right? There's property back where I just came from. I have everything I need and then some to get more property. I have the RV on that land, right? And I'm just kind of, at this point, you know, I was doing what I was doing and kind of preparing over there. And then I met a woman and, you know, the last year or so, I kind of been sharing space with her, you know, helping her to get out of debt. She's got a new piece of land now in the forest. You know, she's going to put a modular home on it and be debt free for the first time and live in paradise and grow on the land, essentially. So, you know, that's kind of what I've been doing along with doing the broadcast every day, which, of course, you know, has become a livelihood on some level. So, yeah, man, I mean, again, it's not about like folks not working or, you know, becoming a broadcaster and being able to live off that, you know, or staying with other people. It's like ultimately, you dedicate yourself to whatever you do and whatever you work on, whatever your passion is in life or whatever your job is. But you just correct the status and standing, right? I don't get down on people for having an ethic and working hard. I have to do that to show up 500 days straight just to do a broadcast, even if it's not technically work. You know, so we should work hard. We should save. We should reinvest. We should be financially free and secure. And also we should live within our means, right?
Yeah,
and also...
Yeah, I would just say that a worker is worthy of his wages, which comes out of the pages of the New Testament. But if you are broadcasting the truth, if you're disseminating knowledge, and that knowledge is helping people, I would say that that's probably some of the most worthy work you could possibly do.
And I've seen that. I've seen that where in my life I've actually done better. You know, I have a very low standard. I'm not college educated. I've pretty much done low-level, blue-collar, quote-unquote, menial jobs all my life, you know, for various times and places. But I'm probably doing now better when it comes to value than I ever had working, you know, for other people in a system. And I attribute that to the law of the universe, which is trust, and equity, and faith. You do what's true and what's right, and you show up for yourself and others every day, and you give it your all, right, and you help make a change in others, you're guaranteed value back. I couldn't see it any other way. Right. So nowhere in there does it require us working with corporations. If anything, it requires us working with and on other folks.
I'm going to play this real quick. I'm just play a snippet of Ernie in this courtroom talking to this judge.
In violation of 45.7302, you were charged on the same date with resisting arrest in violation of 45.7301 of the Montana Code.
Those men were charged by me right back by staging an overthrow of the Constitution of 1789, an overthrow of the Bill of Rights, an overthrow of my rights to forage for food as a natural living person who was in hunger. I was searching for something to put in my stomach, as I am recognized to be allowed to do by universal law. That's nothing to do with your corporate fiction. They violated everything, and furthermore, for your knowledge, they violated Judge Holly Brown's Title 26 United States Code ruling, which I went before her and prevailed on 21st March 2011. EPO 9-58A is the case number wherein she evidenced that I am not a taxpayer because I am not a federal citizen. Federal law trumps state law at every turn. I have 9 judge rulings to that end.
Now, what do you think about that statement? Federal law trumps state law at every turn.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, ultimately, this is about inherent hierarchical power and value systems. And in every organization, there's a hierarchy. So, of course, the federal code is supposed to be written as objectively as possible pursuant to the spirit of the law that is encoded in the constitutional contract that we are not a party of, right? You don't get your rights from the Constitution. You're not even a party to it. The way that it works is they swear to it. So the whole reason that they swear to it is so they're bound by it. Right? We get our rights directly from God. We're not a party to that Constitution. Every agent on this land is supposed to be a party to it because they're supposed to swear to it. That's how we keep them bound by their duties and obligations and not getting out of line. Because we knew. We always know what they're going to do. It's been the same game over and over again. So, yeah, technically, if everything's working properly, the federal code is supposed to be a codification supposedly for slaves to understand better the spirit of the law that is encoded in that constitutional contract that these agents swear to, right? But again, any time that any code anywhere at any time is written incongruent, right, and not pursuant to the spirit of the law that is encodified in that contract we call the Constitution, it becomes null and void and illegitimate. It's just like when the feds, right? It's not USC, it's not US code to my knowledge, but the feds supposedly through legislation have deemed marijuana to be illegal. They say, well, you can't have it, you can't sell it. Well, what did the states do with their states' rights? They said, no, this is a pursuance of happiness issue. This is a medical issue. This is a religious issue. So we're going to grow reefer and we're going to let adults trade it because the feds, nor can anybody in any costume, actors, deem the activity of men and women to be illegal or unlawful if there's no loss, injury, and harm occurred, and it's a pursuit of happiness slash medical slash religious issue. This is the same thing as the face coverings. It's the same idea. They could give you advisory code if it's not pursuant to the spirit of the law, that this is of and by and for the people, pursuit of happiness, absent some loss, injury, or harm, or direct threat. That's how even the U.S. code defines it. You have to have the preponderance of what's called a direct threat. You have to be able to establish a direct threat. You can't do that just saying we think everybody's sick or there's something in the air. It's not going to cut it, right? So, again, they're using statute, policy, and code ubiquitously to overwrite common sense and common law to the point where now just yesterday one of the cops said common law is not a thing. It never existed. And it's like you don't even know what to say after that. It's like all of this system and foundation of law is set up on what we call the common law, which is more of a philosophical spirit of the law and common sense more than anything.
What cop was it that said that? I'm not aware of that.
I don't even know the guy's name. One of these videos I played just yesterday that, you know, another egotistical, prideful clown who thinks that they know how the law works because they went to some institution, right? It's like these people don't even know how to think properly and feel properly and live properly. But I'm supposed to believe they understand legal, lawful.
So when Ernie says federal law trumps state law at every turn, how does that square with, say, the 10th Amendment?
The 10th Amendment specifically, I don't have it committed to memory. My understanding of the 10th through 14th Amendment, the loose understanding I have is public safety clause. The idea that if they can establish a direct threat to the public, that they have an ability to use that advisory code to maintain order. So again, if they can't establish a direct threat, but they're becoming a direct threat to the individual, especially if the individual, quote unquote individual, that's a whole other word, if the individual colloquially is on record as a man or woman on the land, then they retain their natural rights and the status of protected class. All right, so that's the whole point of that U.S. code and that federal code, is to refer to the idea of the protected class to revert the locals and the state folks back to their obligations, right, as upholders of the law and the individual's rights. So that's why everything has to be pursuant to that spirit slash letter of that law, because we know if not, they're just going to say you can't hunt, you can't fish, you can't move, you can't breathe, you can't copulate without following our statute, policy, and code. And we go, the whole point of why this is America is if you're not going to do what's true and what's right and follow that original contract that you're bound by, then we can alter, abolish, slash, deem you to be illegitimate, right? I'm not looking to alter, abolish. I'm just going to put on record for whoever administrator is going to hear the case who knows the law better than any policy enforcement, because I got half a dozen of them on record with me saying, we don't know the law. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this 30 years, but we're not law professors. Take it up with the courts. Okay, I will. And I'm going to put it on record over and over again that you guys are way out of bounds. And the only reason it's continuing is because the majority of my neighbors don't know who and what they are and what they're not and how to move correctly.
So at this point, we're not even talking about whether the Constitution is legitimate or illegitimate. We're talking about human beings who took an oath to make sure that they upheld the rights that are found at least in the Bill of Rights, correct?
Yeah, I mean, this is conceptual.
The reason I ask you that is because, you know, I don't know, have you read any books by Lysander Spooner?
I've heard the name. I may have heard some quotes here and there, but I have not read the...
One of the things he said was, whether the Constitution be one thing or another, this much is certain. It's either authorized such a tyrannical government as we have, or it's been powerless to stop it. In either case, it's unfit to exist, because basically, it's just a piece of paper that a lot of people like to step on. Would you agree with that assessment?
Right. The piece of paper is an original contract that we've laid down as the formation in order to keep these folks in line and to keep the republic, if we can keep it.
Right.
Right? We've lost it because of democratic ideals, propaganda, and the spiritual fall of man, once again, into a dark state of beingness.
Right, but they also like to change that contract, like in the Bill of Rights, the First Ten Amendments, and the amendments to the Constitution, like the 14th Amendment, creates a citizen class where we're subject to the jurisdiction thereof. You wouldn't see that as anywhere near legitimate, correct?
Again, this is it comes down to what will they do whatever you let them. Again, Brian, I'm the ghetto guy, right? I'm like my channel's Pimp on Slave. So I don't hate the player. I like they say, don't hate the player, hate the game. I'm not going to hate either. It's a fascinating game. I contend we need it in order to know objectively right from wrong and become faithful again if we ever were completely, right? So, hey, you want to, like, go in there, write something down, convince everybody that it's real and get them to act it out? Well, great game, great simulation. Oh, right. Again, if you act like a broken hoe, well, then when a pimp meets you, he's going to pimp on you. That's the rules of pimping. You don't pimp on the regular man or woman who knows who and what they are, what they're not. But if you show up and say, I'm a hoe, well, then there's nothing to do but pimp on you. At some point, it's like, for God, we need this process. So you could say it's technically illegitimate and fraud, but spiritually, I think it's absolutely what we need right now, and it's going to lead to what we're seeing right here, which is conversations that lead to conversions, that lead to awakenings, that lead to change,
right,
through understanding.
Yep. That's exactly what we want. That's the reason for these live streams and these videos. Otherwise, it's all a lost cause anyway. And just for the algorithm records, the 10th Amendment says the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it, that's the Constitution, to the states, or reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And the spirit of the letter of that law, the spirit of that letter is that if one state became so oppressive, like if Florida became too oppressive, then people could go to Georgia or Alabama to escape that oppression. Whereas if you have a federal blanket of authority subjecting the citizens to servitude, they could escape to another region. Whereas, you know, if you're under the federal jurisdiction, that's not going to happen.
Right. But this is the idea in eighth grade. They told us about it, checks and balances. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to call this a united endeavor, again, this is where we have the overlay of the corporation. But if we're just going to talk what we believe it is, if we have a united endeavor, well, then we're all united under that spirit of that law.
Right.
That's not what's happened. Right? We're all united under the propaganda of what we call law, which is statute, policy, and code, and fascism, yes. The merger of state and corporate powers. So the Constitution and the rights from God that it protects doesn't grant them to you, it protects that, are only as good as the people who can ascertain the law of God and live it.
Right.
If not, what good is the damn document?
Right.
It's just like the Bible, man. What good is the Bible if a motherfucker can't come to have the experience with God? Every time he comes to a point in life, he's got to stop and open up the book and look in there to have the experience that's written about? It's redundant. It's superfluous. It's more than what's necessary at this point. This is our problem. We need constitutions and books and all the rest of it because we've not lived a firsthand full experience with that force we call God and truth. We're so pimped out and deceived and delusional that we got to keep going to deceivers and corrupt corporations and frauds and remix books in order to know who and what we are. That's not how it happens. Right? So again, you can't solve a problem with the same level of consciousness that created it. It doesn't matter what I give modern day man. They will always continue to create their slavery because as the mind and heart goes, the man follows. The change is only going to happen from within, right? Be the change you want to see in the world. As within, so without, as above, so below. Once enough individuals, as you saw yesterday, Brian, I sent you the thing. They just said we're no longer pulling people over for traffic infractions and we're definitely not bringing you to jail. Is it a coincidence or is it because all of us finally, certain ones of us said, we're out. We're not complying. We're not obeying. We know the difference between legal and lawful, and we're going to continue to do this. You're going to have to keep locking us up. And at some point they go, yeah, we're going to have to change the way we approach this. That's how this change happens. You got to put yourself on the gears of this system, and you got to stand on what's true and what's right and be on the right side of history. If you don't, it's probably going to get worse, or you're just going to sacrifice folks like me in hopes it'll get better, in which case you trick yourself out of an authentic experience. Do you want to be a real man or woman here or not? There's nothing else to do as far as I'm concerned in this simulation.
Amen. And just to echo what you said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks and the body reacts, and whatever's in your heart is what's going to be fleshed out in your daily life. Let's just a couple more minutes here with Ernie.
Turn him up. Are you all the way up on sound?
Yeah, it's all the way up. Jeez,
a bit low.
Yeah. Can you hear it okay, kind of?
Send it again.
I am not registered crap. I am the living man, and I have the right to forage for...
I can barely make it out. It's a bit low.
All right. But you're here on different charges.
That is what's down. Ma'am, you can argue this all day long. You're operating on corporate fiction.
I'm telling you. You're here on some charges which were filed in three books.
I do not understand those charges.
Number one, you keep interrupting me, and I'm going to charge you with contempt, and you'll go to jail.
Contempt of court is spelled COWN. I know that fucking mess now.
I love this guy. I you know what, maybe on another live stream, can you guys, let me know if you guys in the chat room can hear. Paul's having trouble hearing it, and I am too. It's real low, but I've got it all the way up on this YouTube channel. Let's see if I can find another.
You know what it reminds you of, Brian? There's a point in time in every man's life, whether it's with their mother or father, that they try to use the same false authority or maybe at one point true authority they had when they were younger, and at some point you just stop going for it. And at that point, you realize all in one moment, you never had to go with it from the beginning, right? Like there comes a point in every man's life where it doesn't matter what your mother or father's telling you. If you don't stop talking right now, X, Y, Z, yeah, I'm going to do whatever it is I please now because I'm grown. No offense. Don't take it personal. You should be proud of this moment, right? If you look at it that way, you start to understand the power dynamic of what's going on here. Only because you keep submitting do they keep believing they have authority over you. And keep giving you the consequences. You know, ask any teacher or parent or whoever with me at some point. There came a point where they stopped giving me consequences because I just wasn't going to yield. I'm going to do what I want. The consequences don't scare me anymore. And you're not going to tell me when I can and can't express myself in open court where this is by and of and for the people. See, that's the difference. And it's not about being belligerent and combative and contemptuous either. It's about understanding the true dynamic of what we're here to do and what's going on here today. right. So
let me ask you, what's been the biggest hurdle that you've had to overcome in correcting your status? What was the most trouble that entered your life by people who believe the corporate fiction nonsense that you've had to deal with trying to unplug from this matrix?
I mean, I don't look at it that way. I choose to look at it as this is what's made me who and what I am and continuing to make me. So I don't look at it as a detriment. I look at it as putting my time in and making my bones, so to speak. In any society, you kind of got to do the dirty work and have bad shit happen to you or around you in order to make who and what you are, right?
Right.
Kind of like the code of men. It's kind of like, you know, like the mob in a sense. But I mean, if you were going to characterize it like how the average person would, I'd probably say getting the car taken a bunch of times, getting all the property taken, guns, you know, having to navigate that and just push to get that back. But ultimately, I'd have to tell you that I guess the most trying thing as a human, right, as a man, I still have some level of feelings at times or disappointment. I think the most trying thing is realizing that the majority of folks around me don't seem like they ever want to or are going to engage in this, right? It's like it wouldn't be as much of a problem if it's really not a problem to me because I feel like it's what my purpose is, what God put me here to do. But I wouldn't feel as much about it if I had my friends, my family, my, you know, my father, just the few folks in my life or even on here actively doing more to be the change and walking with me, right? At times I feel kind of alone, and I suspect that that also is part of this journey and what it's supposed to be, like the Christed being. Probably felt alone at times, right? And that's what pushed him to grow in faith. Because the circle at the end of the day is so small. It's you and whatever that creative force is and your conscience. Everything might leave you. You might have to give everyone and everything up to be given everything back in truth and faith. So, yeah, I have to take a philosophical and stoic approach to my life, even especially when things are going quote-unquote bad or wrong. Because I just presume in those moments, this is what the fuck is making me for the future. Adversity makes men. Prosperity makes monsters.
Something I've wanted to ask you for a while and watching a lot of your videos, what do you mean by Christed being? Where does that term come from? What does it mean?
A conscious, aware being who has some level of self-awareness and awareness of conscience and the law within the universe and a connection to life and the universe and that law.
Like a being a being apart from humanity?
Yeah, a being who's in the world but not of it, right? My kingdom is not of this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. I don't follow the ways of the world. From the beginning of time, from me being here, I have not followed the ways of the world. I've been at odds with all forms of authority. Because to me, it's illegitimate. You can't ever tell me legitimately what to do and not do and substantiate it. That's what your will is. We're here to do God's will, not your will or my will or anyone else's. So when I say Christ a being, I just mean a being who has awareness of self and therefore knows God and then everything in the universe to some degree true enough. If not, they at least have the intuition that leads them to that, right? So it ain't about the whole truth. I don't think anybody has the whole truth. It's about true enough.
Well, let me, you know what? We're gonna finish this thing with Ernie, yeah, because I wanna get to the part where he really starts going off on the judge, but and then I wanna say something else I think is important. So let's watch some of this.
Judges, I only understand universal law and the right to live, and to live as I need to.
You pled not guilty in this.
I court. Never plead. Animals plead. Sound like bah, oink, oink.
I have a paper with your signature on it, sir.
It says prime evidence standing right through it. You bring forward all natural right. forms of evidence that I'm not prime evidence. I am the living soil. The dirt, the water, and the air has its own voice, does it not? It all supports
sir?
Forms of life, does it not? I am a part of that life. I am not your corporate fiction.
Sir?
Do not danger me.
You're here today on an omnibus hearing. You've already pled not guilty.
I am here by special visitation to see to it that you do not danger my natural living man's name.
Are you prepared
That's
to tell the
here.
Court if you wish to go to trial on this matter?
This is a trial. Tell
no,
me
this
not.
Isn't a trial.
Here's my
this
jury
is an
of my peers.
Hearing, sir.
You cannot produce a jury of my peers because all juries are selected from a pool of registered voters, and the instant a person registers to vote, their natural ability is appeared to comprehend. Natural law has been dissolved and turned into fiction. There cannot be raised a jury of my peers. It cannot be done.
I told the same thing to the administrator at Colorado State Court. he finally got to a point with me. He goes, well, you could take this to trial if you want. We're going to bring in a jury of your peers. I go, what does that consist of? He goes, 12 United States citizen slaves. I go, I got to stop you right there. Doesn't make any sense. You're going to bring in 12 folks who voted for Joe Biden to make a decision objectively on right from wrong? I don't think that's going to work out too well for me, right? So they don't know where to go. When you just use common sense and point out the obvious that's not so obvious to the majority of folks who just go along to get along, glazed over, like, yeah, how are you going to go get 12 people who are like me who can understand right from wrong objectively, legal versus lawful, natural rights versus privileges? To make a determination of whether I actually did wrong or you just all believe I did wrong based on what school told you and TV told you, right? You're dealing with mentally, emotionally ill people who listen to the TV is really what this comes down to, living a collective hallucination.
So, okay, so you've unearthed something else here. So what's your view on the concept of jury nullification? It's nonsense?
Ultimately, man, God is my judge, and unless you're going to bring in someone who I live in a community with, who is directly impacted by my actions, who can make a determination on what I did was common for me and the common practice of that land, right? The law of the land is the law of the people who live on the land. Mm-hmm. There are lands when you go there where it's culturally accepted that we're going to cut off a woman's genitals because God told us to. Now, you bring that person to another land, they're going to say, this is insane. This is criminal.
Right.
Right, so on some level, the common law becomes common practice. Whatever the people accept on that land to be true for them becomes essentially the law of that land, whether it's legitimate, objectively, logical, moral, ethical, or not. Right, so that's kind of, you know, what we have here is we got a bunch of folks who've been trained to believe stuff that are going to be brought in to make a judgment, which is ultimately God's, on a man's behavior that might be common practice for him. Right, there's plenty of times in life where we have a difference in ethics, but no loss, injury, or harm is caused, and you can't claim somebody did a crime because they don't have the same ethic compass that you do. Right, on that level, 1,000 years ago, you could bring in 12 people and have somebody stoned because they decided to lay down with the same sex. I don't buy into that. Right, so we're going to bring in 12 people to be the judge that God is to take life that's not ours to take that God gave because someone doesn't have the same ethical compass as us. Right, absent any loss, injury, or harm or non-consensual behavior, no man or woman has an ability to rule or judge over anybody else and condemn them to a fate that is not authentically prescribed by what we call God in the universe and fate objectively, apparently.
And to echo that, it's no measure of good mental health to be considered well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society. So if society is profoundly sick, why would you want a jury of your peers presiding over your case, whatever you call it?
Oh, I have no problem. If you want to bring in 12 folks who understand common law, the difference between legal and lawful, understand a republic versus democratic communism and fascism, mm-hmm. You want to bring in 12 people like that, they'll make a determination all day, every day. Paulie Boyd did no wrong.
Right.
As a matter of fact, he's a leader in our community and in our society. And not only do we not want him harmed, we want him to be given commendations. You know?
So this concept of jury nullification is basically self-defeating because you're not going to find those kinds of people. If you don't even have people like that in your zone of influence who could vouch for your stellar reputation, then you're not going to find them out in society.
Well, this is why they're perfect at creating societies where folks are disintegrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and your neighbors don't talk. You and your coworkers don't decide policy or live by the common law and commune together or converse about these things. So if you're completely independent and disintegrated, so much so many of these folks are married to folks who don't even live like them. They're sleeping with the enemy. How many folks hit me up and go, my significant other who I have a child with is a complete slave. Well, you picked them. What were you doing? What were you selecting for in the mating process, right? So again, when you have a disintegrated community, you have disintegrated selves, either one coming before the other or vice versa, right? So this is why I say this is a back to the land, quote unquote, movement, non-movement. You got to get back on the land, live within your means, be debt-free, self-sufficient, and surround yourself with like and kind folks to commune with in your community. Then when you get hauled in the local court or whatever court, you're going to be judged in the system by your peers.
Right.
Right. Go ahead. Let's bring in the community of Unslavia to judge if Brian or whoever did something wrong and we're going to take his property or his body. Of course not. If he didn't cause any loss, injury, and harm, and he doesn't know a debt, then he's free to leave. Free to stay, free to leave, like they like to say.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's continue on with Ernie here because this is almost over.
Excuse me for just a moment.
No way. Get back here and finish this. Hey, get back here and finish this.
I love it.
The judge has left the courtroom. There you go.
And the chip.
There is nobody in this courtroom. Yeah. The judge has walked out.
The judge has walked out. Everybody
I said
up and
no
out.
Excuse.
Everybody up and out.
I'm not letting
up and out. Up and out. Up and out. Follow the man. Get your hand.
Thank you.
I think that's pretty much it. I think they all go out to their cars and they just leave, but he gets arrested later. And I don't remember. Do you remember the results of the case?
Oh, I don't even know if I ever got the complete results. I mean, to me, oftentimes the results don't matter as much as getting who and what you are on record and surrendering the rest. They can say and do whatever they want at this point.
Yeah.
Come out of discretion.
Hey, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question about the term that people constantly throw around. And I think Artie did it to you on Artie's Corporate Fiction. He called you or alluded to the fact that you might be a sovereign citizen. What's your comment about that?
Well, I mean, obviously what we've come to know that I've repeated over and over again. So essentially, I mean, I'm sure others have too. I'm not laying claim to it, but it's now become the common knowledge in the quote unquote auditor community that these folks are the sovereign citizens because they keep claiming that they're above the law of the land and the law of God, and that if they just put on a costume, they can do whatever they want. So ironically, once again, in the projection deception simulation, all the people calling us that are actually doing what they're calling us, right? That's that projection thing, that narcissism thing that a lot of these folks like to do. You know, you got to watch that. So, yeah, it turns out all the folks who are like doing whatever they want and profiteering and not upholding the law of the land and rights are the actual sovereign citizens.
Well, I wanted to keep this at an hour and a half because that's basically the attention span of America as far as, you know, viewing live streams all the way through the beginning. I think this is such an important thing that people need to watch this. And I want to have you back because I want to have more discussions on this. I appreciate you. I love you. I appreciate all the criticism because it's going to make me a better person. I'm not where I want to be, but hopefully I'm a better person tomorrow than I was today and on into the future. So that's the only way this is going to happen. I don't like to have these live streams where there's no point to it, where people aren't going to learn from it and their lives aren't going to be changed. I think that you said a lot of life-changing things in this video. How do you want to end this?
I think we're good to go, Brian, man. I respect you. You know, you kept it real with me. You shoot straight. You know, regardless of disconnects at times or misunderstandings, I think that we're all here in these communities bonded by a common purpose, a common meaning, a common principles and value system. You know, whether or not we're living that all the way individually, that's the judgment on the man. You know, we all individually got to look at ourselves and make a decision on that in conscience. So, yeah, man, I don't judge you. I don't condemn you. I'm just here to be a leader in self. And if by proxy I can help to lead others back to themselves and to a more true enough state of beingness and record, well, then in a sense, indirectly, I'm helping to save souls, right? That's what this is all about. Yeah. I don't call myself a Christian, but if you look at it archetypally, what we're talking about here, it's bearing witness and testimony in order to save my and other souls from what we're on record as being a part of and co-creating from and with and through, right?
And that is true. And in my view, that is truly the righteous action. And I don't think it's my view. It's the universal view that if you act like that, you are truly being a righteous being.
You got to be like that. If you're not doing that and holding to that, you will undo yourself is what I've learned. The same way an addict has to go back to treatment centers to talk to other addicts about what he's living in his life and all the perils and challenges, that's what keeps you on the path. Holding yourself and others accountable and showing up for yourself and others and speaking this truth and this experience and then surrendering the rest and seeing what we all do with it, right? So I think we almost need to do that and be a part of that in order to keep ourselves on the straight and narrow and level it up.
And if you're watching this on this live stream, whatever platform you're on, X or Facebook or whatever, this is Paul Enslaved. He's got two channels right now. It's Proper Instruction Motivates People. I am subscribed to his channel. I'm on Google Chrome, and I'm not subscribed to anybody in Google Chrome. And the next one is Paul Enslaved, which has 21,000 subscribers, and he has been algorithmically artificially suppressed into the bottom of the trash can, basically, as far as YouTube is concerned. Paul, at the end of this, give me the links that people can contact you at, the Cash Apps and all that kind of stuff, and I'll make sure that I put them under all the videos. But where's the best way for people to contact you or reach out to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I have the at Pimp on Slave channel now, the secondary channel.
Okay.
Probably the best option. And then, of course, I have the Telegram, which also seem to be altered in numbers. I people join every day, yet I lose numbers every day. So not too sure what to make of that. But, yeah, that's where we're home base right now. Proper instruction motivates people. And, yeah, we'll take it one day at a time.
All right, guys. Hey, hang out with me real quick, Paul. I'm going to end this live stream, but I want to keep talking with you. All right, guys. I appreciate you, Paul. Thanks for joining. Guys, thanks for joining this live stream. We will have Paul on again. I can promise you that as long as I have life in my lungs. And thanks for joining. If you haven't already, share this video and like this video and overcome all the algorithmic suppression because, man, let's face it, people do not want you to know this truth, and we know why. So, Paul, thanks a lot. We'll see you guys.
Thank you, Ryan. In the live stream.
Take care. We'll see you guys.
Thank you, Ryan.
Take care. Truth, and we know why. So, Paul, thanks a lot. We'll see you guys.
Thank you, Ryan.
Take care. We'll see you guys.
Thank you, Ryan.
Take care.
A lot of people who support him, and I feel like there's a lot of drinking the Kool-Aid going along, you know, especially in the 1A community.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right.
And I want to start co-hosting with you more, man. I like the energy. I think it's good shit.
I do too, man. All right, take care.
All right, bro. All right, I don't know what happened there. Where are we at here? Hello, hello, hello. Testing, testing. There we go. Okay, folks, pretty decent conversation, I'd say. I don't know where we were at there on the leg. I'm probably going to have to edit that video somehow. First time trying to do the Rumble coordination. All right, I threw the link down. If you folks want to come on up, kind of give me your questions, comments, concerns. I'm sure Snafu Snaps and others are watching, waiting, and anticipating, deliberating. Yeah. No sound. We have sound or not? We got sound. What the fuck are they telling me? We got sound. All right. Where do we go from here? Kind of anticlimactic. Well, let's go. I'm putting the link down. I'll wait. I got to take a rest. I got to take a breather, you know. It takes a lot out of me, being the god of all media. Conversations about slavery, I start to sweat. I feel like I have some obligation here. I really just want to be a cruise ship singer, you know, cabaret singer, or like stand-up comedian like Brian O'Shea. All this talk about God and faith and truth and trust and equity and all, it's burdening, tiring at times. Oh man, it's beautiful out here today. See it. All right, well, looks like. What do I do? I'm going full Talcott. What do I do, brothers and sisters? I'm kind of feeling half complete right now. Do I just end this broadcast as it is and then start another one? We do the other hour and a half that I usually do. We just cut it short for the day, hour and a half, hour and 40 instead of three. There we go. Someone's joining now. Let's So don't make me work here today. I already did enough. Gave you folks a great conversation, great energy. I held Brian accountable like Snafu Snap says I won't do, like I was scared to do. Held everyone accountable. Brian kept it real. He said there's more that everybody could do. There's no denying that.